A tradition we started a few years ago on this vigil. Repeat after me. Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Jesus Christ is risen. Alleluia, alleluia.
Each year you're getting better at that. That's good. That's good. That's a vital expression. And of course, one hope that we can live into and understand even deeper its meaning and implications for our lives, which is part of the reason we do this Easter Vigil service this evening. And thank you for being here, because I've had a few people say, "Hey, Father, how long is that Easter Vigil service?" About 2 hours. What about Sunday morning? A little over an hour. Okay, see you Sunday. But God bless you, you're here, right now. And in a very real way, it takes this amount of time to even begin to reflect on how our God wants to speak to us and touch us. First of all, we know as we look at these readings that our God is speaking to us not only as individuals. Yes, we need to personally be open to the Lord and let God's presence touch us in many ways. But at the same time, all these scriptures were written for communities. They were written to a group of people, calling them here, calling us. What does it mean together to be a faith community centered in the Lord Jesus Christ, making a difference in how we relate to one another and what we do out there? And so, mindful of that, we're going to now do another tradition that's been around for a little while. Please stand. A lot of you know this who come at least once a month, that first weekend. What I'm going to ask you to do, we are a community of faith. We may come here as individuals, and that's beautiful. We're glad for every one of you. But as a community of faith, we're going to ask you to reach out to somebody around you you do not know. And hopefully no cheating, okay? You're allowed to get out of the pews for this, okay? Special dispensation. But find somebody you don't know, introduce yourselves to one another, and make a brief comment. But do that right here, right now, as the community you are. I should know your name, yes.
Mike.
Michael. Mike. And
Kim.
I know you from somewhere, right?
So my kids went to Elementa, the little
way. Well, okay.
We were at the fish fry a couple weeks ago.
Oh,
so
well. Thanks for being here, too. Good. I don't need that. You can put that away. And now you may be seated and be quiet. This vigil has happened for centuries. Again, as a powerful way to enter into the fullness of the Easter proclamation. And it all has deeper meaning, not just as symbolism, but tapping into a reality of how our God relates to us. And how our Lord wants us to be open to the way he wants to be present. So we start out there, you know, with the light, the fire. And that light from which the Paschal candle, the Christ candle is lit. And think about this. It starts in darkness. We probably can't fully appreciate that like many centuries before there are even electric lights. But the point is, it starts in darkness. And it's a reminder to us, maybe one we don't want to be reminded of, but we know in our world today, there's a lot of darkness. There's a lot of saying, "Lord, where are you in this?" We could go on with the litany, whether it's in what's going on in the world, our nation, and our own personal families. And sometimes that darkness can understandably overwhelm us. At the same time, we gather here and we're reminded, because we need reminded, that Jesus Christ is the light. He's the light who wants to see us through. And we have a choice, don't we? In our daily lives, we can focus on the darkness and be overwhelmed, and there's a reality there we have to deal with. But we can also focus on the light of Jesus Christ, the light of people throughout the world with many different backgrounds, trying to show that light of goodness and love. And in fact, when we come in here, we focus on being led by the light, not being upset by the darkness. And as we follow that light, notice another part of it that's very important. People begin to light their own candle to one another, because it's a reminder. Jesus Christ doesn't only want to be our light, and he does, but he wants us to be touched in such a way that we become that light for each other, that in some way we each are the light of Christ, the light of goodness, the light of mercy, the light of love. Touched by the light, so we become the light. That's not meant just to be a ritual step, but to be a conscious reminder in every day of our lives who we are and what we're all about. And then we have the Easter proclamation, which has been done for centuries. I've had people say, too, yeah, I understand it. Why can't they shorten that proclamation? You know, we tend to be in that, let's be efficient, let's do it, let's get on with it. Maybe we need this all the reminder. When we're talking about the proclamation of Jesus Christ risen and conquering sin and death, that's pretty important. And to be able to proclaim that and listen and take it to heart and recognize it's the reason we come here. The exalted, we exalt in knowing that Jesus Christ is our Lord, our Savior, working in us and through us for the sake of the world. And then, of course, we get into the scripture readings. And I know for that, too, people, mostly not so much today, you probably know, but I've had people say, are they going to do all those scripture readings again? You know, the great American mentality. Yes, we are in some way. What's that all about? Well, here, and you're here, and you probably have that awareness. Here, it's not only reminding us of our history, of our roots, which is important. Our roots going back to the dawn of creation itself. God of love from the very beginning of time. You know, and we know that goes way back now. The Creator, that's our first revelation from God, is the Creator, creating every one of us. And we're reminded of that. And reminded that that creation is not just an event that took billions of years ago. That creation is meant for us to realize this Lord our God continues to create. This Lord our God is dynamic and is an ever-flowing presence. We learn that even today from things like the Hubble telescope, the vastness of creation, the awesomeness of so much still being created by this Creator. And hopefully in our own lives, we realize that this God is not just birthed us, but is continually over our lifetime to create and recreate us. So that in a real sense, in our prayer life, we can have a consciousness, God, how do you want to create me today? In this day, how do you want to touch me? How do you want to fashion me? How do you want to renew me? And let me be open to that. Because we need recreated every day, don't we? And recognizing that presence and that power that wants to see us through and move us on. God, our Creator. And then, of course, we see in that second reading the whole story of Moses and the Exodus event. And again, it's a very important part of our roots in which God shows that very clearly He's against those who are enslaved then, and he's against those who are enslaved even now. Anywhere in the world where there's injustice, where there's enslavement of one type or another, God from the very beginning says no to that. He wants us to have that deeper freedom, freedom to be who he meant us to be, not freedom to do whatever we want, but freedom to be and follow his path of love. And so, again, we're not only remembering an event 3,000 some years ago, but we're reminded that that Lord our God wants to liberate us every day. wants us to be open to that ongoing relationship and grace. Every day, you know it, and I know it, there's circumstances that weigh us down, that tie us up. Whatever it might be some little thing, it might be some big anguish we're going through, it might be some addiction we're caught up in, some sin that has weighed us down too much. It could be any of those things, but the Lord wants to free us up. Jesus Savior, the other term, Jesus Liberator, to liberate us from anything, everything that divides us from knowing God's goodness and love and letting that love flow through us and touch other lives. There's a lot of that kind of liberating that still needs to happen today in the world, in our nation, in our personal and family life. God freeing us up. Again, these aren't just ancient stories. They remind us of what the Lord wants to do here and now. And then we have the reading from Isaiah. And that, too, powerful for our day. Because God, through Isaiah, 2,500 years ago, could be saying it today, and he is. The scripture is meant to be a living word for all time. That God's saying, why spend yourself on things that don't satisfy? You know, do we all have, you know, things, well, if I just had this or that or whatever, I'd be fulfilled, I'd be happy. We're reminded in Scripture that there's a place we can have gifts and good things, but none of that is ever going to fulfill us. And so, in some way, as the ancient writers said, our hearts are restless until they rest in God. To see the fulfillment there, and to keep everything else in perspective, and to know even in terms of this life that probably with our faith, with our God, we won't know total fulfillment here. We will experience it, but people sometimes say, well, what, you know, part of the reason we believe in Jesus Christ, who showed us there's a life beyond death, is that's the ultimate fulfillment. That's not meant to be an excuse for not being open and letting the Lord touch our lives and fill us here, of course. But we may always, even there, have a sense. I've had people, Father, I know the Lord, I believe in him, I experience that. Maybe sometimes I forget and get caught up, but I realize the Lord saying, hey, I'm with you through it all. I'm with you even in the midst of the incompleteness of human life, because it's never fully complete. But if I can believe that, I can keep a perspective, because whatever it is, the Lord is present with us in it and through it. His love, his presence, to trust that, to be open to that, no matter what. Even now in our lives, and even when I think of all the people through the years in ministry who I've watched beyond their deathbed, and there have that faith that somehow, some way, death is not the final reality. Easter reminds us of that, that ultimate reality. And I remember one woman put it so well, so beautifully, when I was visiting her. She said, Father, I look at it this way because of her faith. The best is yet to come. The best is yet to come. Wow, having that understanding. And then we go on to the Gloria, and we are called to give glory to God, not only in a beautiful hymn with a great choir, but in daily life, to notice and recognize and be grateful. And again, we can focus on the depravity of some things around us, and they're real, not to ignore them, but remember the glory of God. And the glory, one saint said this, the glory of God is a human being fully alive. Fully alive. That's what God wants us to be glorified in that. And then, of course, we get to the reading from Romans. And here again, it's part of a baptismal liturgy. This year, we don't have anyone at this time coming into the church through baptism. We have a couple families who will be very soon, but they needed more formation and preparation to have a richer understanding of what this is all about. But the point is, there's another way to look at us. Every one of us here, hopefully, have been baptized. And the very word baptism means immersed. Immersion, we think of immersion in the water, but immersion, it's meant to be immersion in the flowing of God's grace. Baptism isn't just some event that happened to us, you know, the day we were born or shortly thereafter. It began then, but our baptism experience is meant to be lifelong. It's meant to be, yes, here and now, the Lord's grace flows in us and through us. That's a lifelong immersion if we're prayerfully seeing it that way and experiencing it that way. And finally, in that gospel, you know, we have the various Easter gospels that remind us of the difference it made. And that those here, the women, and so often it was the women, folks. It was the women who came first. It was the women who even though Jesus died, wanted to be there and anoint him even in his burial. But in all who showed up there, they didn't expect it, even though he had spoken about it. But again, too good to be true. Can we even dare to believe it? Do we really believe it? You know, and then it says they were amazed. Maybe all of us in our faith need to be a little more amazed. Amazed at this God who works in our lives. Amazed at what God will do if we allow this Holy Spirit to give us a chance and work together and inspire us. And so, again, the reminder is not only that those disciples 2,000 years ago were transformed by coming to know Jesus Christ alive, but also all of us are to be transformed. I probably used this example before, but I'll use it again as I wrap this up. That there was a fella who talked to me a few years back. And I remember he was one, he came to the vigil kind of not wanting to come, but his co-worker was becoming Catholic and being baptized, so he came. And he grumbled a little bit. He even told me through the first part of everything going on. But then when he saw his co-worker so alive in Jesus Christ, so filled with faith and a hope and a purpose, this guy who'd been Catholic his whole life looked at that, envied that, and said, wow, that's what it means to really be transformed. So as he told me when we shared, it wasn't just his buddy getting immersed in God's love. He was getting immersed in God's love in a way he never knew before, till the witness of another. And isn't that how it spreads? The witness from the very beginning is lives changed by Jesus Christ through the centuries to bring us to today. And hopefully we will be transformed in such a way, even with our imperfection and sin, that other people will see in us a hope, a joy, a peace, a spirit that can be found nowhere else ultimately. So I ask you one more time to repeat after me, Jesus Christ is risen, alleluia, alleluia. Jesus Christ is risen, alleluia, alleluia. And if we need to repeat that from time to time in our life, do it. God bless you. And we take just a quiet moment to remember and let what needs, how God wants to touch us even right now.